Amen.
You charge $7 for 15 minutes. Before you buy it, you lose your job.
This is the way it's supposed to be, right? Okay. He's making a profit of $1.90. You don't count the shot at $1.90.
Before we start the shiur, I'd like to announce that the next 2 weeks we won't be able to have the shiur on Monday nights because this building will be locked, so we're going to have the shiur on Wednesday nights at the same time in the same place. We'll continue, brachas. Okay, we left off on Yud-Dalet Amud Beis. Yankov Shein is on Goliath, Mittel. The Gemara on Yud-Dalet Amud Beis, we started last week, tells us that minig in Eretz Yisrael, that when they daven Ma'ariv, they would not recite all the three parashas of Shema. Instead of saying the whole third parasha of Shema, they abridged it. They just said the first pasuk and the last pasuk. Amar Rav Yosef, let's see that, 7 lines from the top. Amar Rav Yosef on Yud-Dalet Amud Beis. How wonderful is the following statement, the following memory, that the Yosef Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda traveled when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said over the following, Amri B'marava Arvis, in Eretz Yisrael, by Ma'ariv, they daven as follows, they said, Gabriel B'nai Yisrael Amarta Aleyem, first line in the third parasha, Ani Hashem Akechem Emes, and they say, Emes Yemun and so on, they complete the whole Emes, till Goal Yisrael. Amalei Abai, so Abai gets all excited about what Rav Yosef said, what's so great? My mom used to, was it such a great practice? Amrav Kan Amarav Layaskim Hiskel Goyim, but the din is that you don't have to begin, this is an interesting line, Lo Yaskel, you don't have to say the third parashah in Shema at night. Why? Why not? What's the whole idea in general of saying the third parashah in Shema? What's the whole idea, B'chalal? Why do we say the third parashah in Shema? Because it has to do with tzitzis and we wear a talis in the morning. So why don't we say, because of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's why. That's why. Because of the last line of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So actually, one can, the Gemara says later, that's what we're going to discuss. The mitzvah of Zechir Yitzias Mitzrayim, one can be Yotzei by saying, Moedim Alach Nuloch, the Gemara has a lotion. Moedim Alach Nuloch, we thank you, Hashem Yisbar, Hashem Elkein, Hashem Yisam, 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 Yisam. So what do we say in general? What do we always say? Why do the Chachamim Mesakim that you should say the third parasha in Shema, which has so much that doesn't have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? Why won't they start Mesakim to say, Moedim Anach Nuloch and so? Shoretz Yisrael Mi'eresh Mitzrayim. So Tanya, the Chachamim wanted, L'chatchila, the more correct way, the more proper way, the mitzvah, more b'shleimus is to recite, to do the mitzvah, to fulfill the mitzvah, Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim, by reciting a parasha from the Torah. Not Tamar saying, Moedim Alach Nuloch, we thank Hashem Yisbar that you took us out of Mitzrayim, and you made Kriyas Yamsuf, and you had Makas Peres, and so on. That's not B'dievet Yoytzi like that also, but L'chatzilah, it's more of a Kiyum B'Shlei Musa, to be Yoytzi, the Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim every day, by reciting a parasha. Why? Apparently this is a Hemshech of the Kriyashma. That's what we mentioned several times. The Kriyashma can only be fulfilled by reciting parashas from the Torah. Let's say a person will recite the themes that are found in the first two parashas of Shema. He'll read from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch the laws of Tefillin and the laws of Mezuzah and the belief in one God, the only God, and Avos Hashem, the love of God, and so on. So he will not fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. You have to read Kriya Shema Kirsova. Machlokes Satanaim, if you hear it's a Kriya Shema, if you say in translation. So we pass, and even in translation is also called Kirsova, but it has to be a literal translation, not common translation of the Inyonim. To speak a little bit about the Tefillin and a little bit about Mezuzah. You have to say over exactly word for word translation of the Chumash. So just like the first two parashas of Shema, one only fulfills the mitzvah by reciting Kriya Shema Kirsova by reciting these parashas. The third parasha, which is for the sake of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim, should also be recited as a parasha. B'deyevit, if the person only recites Moed Ma'at and Lach, we thank Hashem is brought to take from the side of Mitzrayim so many thousands of years ago, and for making Kriyas Yamsuf Makas B'chorim, B'deyevit, that would be sufficient. But L'Hatchila, the mitzvah B'shleimusa, would be to recite a parsha. Why? Why a whole parsha? So that's what we explained, because the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rambam does not consider as a separate mitzvah. He doesn't count this as a separate mitzvah in the minyan of mitzvahs. Why not? So B'Shem Rab Chaim is saying the yeshivas that the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is a chelek of Kriyas Shema. We are Mekabel Omar B'Shamayim by mentioning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt, and at that time he demonstrated with all the nisim and nefilos that he made, that he did at that time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he demonstrated all the Yesodos HaEmunah. He demonstrated that there exists a God, and God knows what's happening in the world, and that God has power over the world, that he created the world, that's why he controls Teva, and he can change Teva, and he's a good God, and he feels bad about the fact that Tzaddikim suffer, and he wants to punish the Rishonim and reward the Tzaddikim, and all the Yesodos HaEmunah. All the Yesodos of our faith were demonstrated at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's why Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a separate mitzvah. It's not that we have a mitzvah of Kriyas Shema as one mitzvah and another unrelated mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. If it's an unrelated mitzvah, so why do we read the third parsha of Shema in the middle of Kriyas Shema? What does it have to do with after Kriyas Shema? After Aleinu, then you should say the parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim, like we have the other Sheish Zechiras. We remember that Shabbos. If you don't have Zechiras, you have no Shabbos in the middle of Kriyas Shema. All the other Zechiras you don't have. Just pump this Zechira of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the answer is because Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is related to Kabbalah on Malchus Shemayim. We accept upon ourselves Kabbalah on Malchus Shemayim based on what was evidenced to us and what was demonstrated to us on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, based on the Nisim and the Flos that we saw at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's why, just like Kriyas Shema, the proper way to fulfill, the only way to fulfill the mitzvah, not the proper way. The one and only way to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema is by the Dibarta Bam to read Kichsavah, to read the two parashas of Shema, either in the original or in translation, but then it's also Kichsavah, you're reading a translation of the text of the Chumash. So the third parasha, which is for the sake of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is not an independent mitzvah, it's a chelik of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, it's a hemshech of the mitzvah of Kriyas Shema. So lechatchila, the more correct way to fulfill that mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is by reciting a parsha from the Torah, either reciting a parsha in the original or in translation. Which parsha? So the Gemara discusses in the first parak, Bemis, they could have chosen any parsha they wanted to. They could have done many. You have many parshas in the Torah which speak of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara discusses why they chose dafka this parsha. So the Gemara assumes here, lechatchila, the more correct way to fulfill Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is by reading a whole parsha in which it's mentioned. And b'deyevet, if the person doesn't read a whole parsha, but he just mentions, Moed Ma'alach Nalach, we thank you Hashem Yisborach for taking us out of Mitzrayim, that would also be good b'deyevet. That's why the Gemara has a din in Hischil, the Gemara has a din like this. Balayla, the Chachamim, for one reason or another, pick that instead of saying some other parsha, Oz Yashir, let's say, or saying, Nehuaz Bilam, Parshas Bolak, or other parshas in the Chumash, which mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Chachamim will kaveya that it's preferable to recite the parsha of Tzitzis that has Yetzias Mitzrayim, for various reasons. So now the Gemara raises a question, but Balayla, at night, the mitzvah Tzitzis doesn't apply, because Tzitzis, that's what Tzitzis book. Tzitzis, there's a machlek in Fatanayim whether the mitzvah applies only by Yom or even by Laila. Because usually at night it's dark unless you have the lights on. And the Chumash says, the reason my story is the Chartmas comes with Hashem. The purpose of Tzitzis is that you should see the Tzitzis and remind yourself of all the mitzvahs of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, that you have to wear special uniforms. The uniform may not be Kilayim, it may not be Shatnas, and if it's a four-cornered garment, you have to put on Tzitzis, a special uniform you have to have. You don't have to wear a four-cornered garment in order to have tzitzis, but if you're wearing a garment with four corners, then you dafka have to have tzitzis on. So the Chumash reads, the reason why he says, Chartmas come mitzvah Hashem. You should see the tzitzis and remember all the mitzvahs that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave. But just look at the garden and you see they have no kilayim, and there's nothing positive there to remind. It's just a negative reminder. I don't wear kilayim. But if you look at your garments which have tzitzis and you see the tzitzis there, this will remind you that you're an Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to wear special uniform, like slaves had to wear special uniforms, and this will remind you of all the other mitzvahs. So since usually at night it's dark, if you don't have the lights on, so the pasuk reads, "Risa Maisai," and one time it says, "Rav Shimon is of the opinion that prat l'ksus life." We are mimicking that pasuk that balayla the mitzvah of tzitzis doesn't apply. And the Chachamim disagree. It's machlokes Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. So usually, whenever you have a machlokes Yochid v'Rabim, we assume Yochid v'Rabim malacha k'Rabim. When it's a Yochid, one Tana disagrees with the majority, so we should normally pass him like the majority opinion. No, the majority opinion is that tzitzis does apply balayla. If tzitzis applies both by yom and balayla, then women would be obligated to mitzvah tzitzis as well. Women are obligated in all mitzvahs as say shelo azman grom. The women have to have mezuzahs on the doorpost the same as the men. And the women have to bench the same as the men. Women have to fulfill all the mitzvahs the same as the men, with the exception of some of, not all, of some of the mitzvahs as say shelo azman grom. So what's regarding the mitzvah of tzitzis? Are women obligated to wear tzitzis or not? So the Gemara says in the Nachas that it depends on this argument between Rav Shimon and a Chachamim. If you assume the din is like Rav Shimon, that the mitzvah of tzitzis only applies by yom and doesn't apply by laila, then women are exempt from this mitzvah of tzitzis, like they're exempt from shofar and lulav and sukkah, because tzitzis is also a mitzvah that says shazman grom, it only applies by yom and doesn't apply by laila. If you should assume the majority opinion, the opinion of the Chachamim, the Rav Shimon, that the mitzvah of tzitzis applies bein by yom, bein by laila, then the women would be mechuyim. It applies Shabbos, Yom Tov, by day and by night, all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have a mitzvah of tzitzis, so that's called the mitzvah saseh. Shelo azman grom, that doesn't depend on time. So how do we talk it positive? So Tosafos says, from this Gemara you see, Mikan Mashma, Ki Rav Shimon. We see from this Gemara that although normally we should pasken yochid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim, we ought to pasken like the Chachamim, that laila is man tzitzis, that you have to wear a talis by night as well, and that women should be mechuyim tzitzis. Nevertheless, we see from this Gemara that it's not so. This is an exception to the rule, and the Chachmei HaGemara assume that the din is like Rav Shimon, that laila is loves man tzitzis, and that therefore women are exempt from tzitzis. Then Tosafos goes into another discussion. We didn't discuss it fully last week. We'll discuss it now, then we'll continue the Gemara. There is a debate, Tosafos quotes it from Menachas Daf Mem Aleph. There is a question the Gemara raises whether tzitzis is chayvas mone, chayvas atalus, or tzitzis is chayvas agave. It means like this: if I buy a talus and I put it in my drawer, that's called klei kufsa, garment that has four corners, a chayv in tzitzis. Does that mean if I possess a four-cornered garment? Or does it mean while I'm wearing the four-cornered garment? So one opinion is that tzitzis is chayvas hamona, chayvas habeged. If you possess a beged that has four corners on it, even if it's sitting in the drawer and nobody at all is wearing it, you are obligated to put on tzitzis on the four corners of the garment. That's one opinion. And the other opinion in the Gemara that we pass in life, the Gemara says, Tosafos quotes the Bahag, that we pass in tzitzis is not a chayvas mone, it's not a chayvas atalus, it's rather a chayvas agavra. What does it mean, chayvas agavra? The only time there's an obligation to put tzitzis in the garment is if you're wearing the garment. If you don't wear the garment, then you're not obligated to put in tzitzis. So Tosafos makes an assumption here. What do you mean when you say that the din is like Rav Shimon and that balayla, the mitzvah of tzitzis, doesn't apply? What do you mean exactly balayla? If you would have assumed the way we pass in la halacha that tzitzis is chayvus ha-gavra, that you're only obligated to put on tzitzis on a garment that you're wearing when you're not wearing it, you're not obligated. So then we understand the pasuk that says a reason also, prat la-layla, when you wear a four-cornered garment in the daytime, you're obligated to put on tzitzis. If you wear a four-cornered garment at nighttime, you're not obligated to put in tzitzis. But if you say that tzitzis is not a chayvus ha-gavra, you're obligated to put in tzitzis even when you're not wearing it. So what do you mean the chiluk between bayom and balayla? I possess the garment in the daytime and I have to put on tzitzis. Then at nighttime I can take out the tzitzis. Then it comes the morning I have to put in the tzitzis again. So Tosafos assumes that it doesn't make sense. If the obligation of tzitzis depends on the person's wearing it, then it makes sense to distinguish. If you wear it in the daytime, you're obligated to put tzitzis on the garment. Whenever you wear the garment, the four-cornered garment at night, you don't have to put tzitzis in the garment. But if you should assume the way we don't pass it, if one should assume the other opinion in the Gemara Menachas Daf Mem Aleph, that tzitzis is a chayvus hamone, when you possess a garment that has four corners, you're always obligated to put in tzitzis. The Tosafos hot akasha, Tosafos has a taina. It doesn't make any sense day or night. That's what they ask. It doesn't make any sense day or night. Karinari asks, he doesn't understand why it doesn't make sense. But that's what Tosafos assumes. It doesn't make any sense to distinguish between day and night. If you're not doing anything, fine, that's how
I'll see it.
Why?
You're
not seeing it anyway. You mean it doesn't make sense in the drush of the pasuk?
Yeah.
of Soloveitchik thought that Tesis, the Keren Arah says he doesn't know what in the world Tesis is talking about. Why doesn't it make any sense? In the daytime you have to, if you own the garment in the daytime, you have to put on tzitzis. If I buy it at night, I know I have all night to put the tzitzis in. I have till the morning. The mitzvah doesn't begin till the morning. That's what the Keren Arah asks. Soloveitchik thought that Tesis is driving at the following idea. That Tesis means like this, that if the chi of tzitzis is a chavis gavro, you're only obligated to put on tzitzis at a time that you're wearing the garment, so then you can speak of a time element as far as what people do. Time is relevant to human beings. Time is relevant to people, so if you wear the garment by yom, you're chayv in tzitzis. You wear it down by laila, you're not chayv in tzitzis. But to speak of the concept of time with respect to an object, you say that this object is chayv in tzitzis by yom, and the object is not chayv in tzitzis by laila. The third is man of yom and laila is irrelevant to an object. He thought that's what Tesis is driving. Whatever it is, Tesis claims. No, that's exactly what we discussed. That's exactly, we had a shaila. If I'm in Eretz Yisrael and my chametz is in New York, so does the Bal Yeroi, Bal Yimotze depend on the time of Eretz Yisrael, or does it depend on the time in New York? Does it go according to the time where the owner is, or does it go according to the time of where the chametz is? This is a big dispute. 150 years ago or so, this is a big machlokes between the Gedolim. When they realized that there's a difference in time between different countries, and people started to travel around the world, and the Chometz was in one place, and they lived in another place, so they had a big dispute. So Amai said, we're machmir that you should make if you go to Eretz Yisrael, or you go whatever. If your Chometz is in a different place, significant difference in hours, so you should sell your Chometz separately from everybody else's Nechiris Chometz. You should make sure you sell it at the earlier time and it's not purchased back again till a later time. To be machmir for both opinions. So at that time, we mentioned this thesis. According to Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation of this thesis, the time only plays a role, time is only a factor as far as people are concerned, not as far as objects are concerned. Then the chayr, if you want to speak about your Bar Yimotzei, it should all depend where the owner of the chametz is, not where the chametz is. It does make sense to say that that where the chametz is, it's Pesach now. Well, what's the difference where the chametz is? It all depends where the bala chametz is. That's a shalom. This is what Tesis argues. Tesis says, according to the opinion in the Gemara and Menachos, that one is obligated to put in tzitzis even in a garment that he is not wearing. That's called clay kufza. Garments that are sitting in a box. The kufza is the box or the clothing that's in the drawer. I have a four-cornered garment that's sitting in the drawer and nobody's wearing it. If one should assume clay kufza chayov and tzitzis, so then Tesis has akasha. Why? How can one distinguish between by yom and by laila? So Tesis comes up with an answer that it doesn't depend on yom and laila. It depends whether it's pajamas, is it daytime garments, ksus laila. It depends whether it's a daytime garment or a nighttime garment. If it's a sleeping apparel, then it's pata from tzitzis, both in the daytime and in the nighttime. And if it's a regular garment that a person would wear in the daytime, so such a garment is five and tzitzis, day by yom and day by laila. That's what Tesis says. But Tesis only says it within the opinion, according to the view, that tzitzis is chayvas hamona, chayvas ha'abdeged. Chayvas mona, chayvas ha'abdeged, even if you're not wearing it. We happen not to paskin like that. We paskin, Tesis says in Yevamos and Dar Tzadik, the Bahag says we paskin that tzitzis is chayvas gavra. You're only obligated to put in tzitzis in the four corners of the garment when you're wearing the garment. If you're not wearing the garment, you don't have to have any tzitzis at all. So the shaila is, since we don't accept that opinion that tzitzis is chavis mana, there's no longer any hechrach to say like that. That it depends on a ksus tiyom as opposed to a ksus laila. The pajamas are potter from tzitzis, and a tal. Pajamas are potter from tzitzis even if you wear them in the daytime, and talaisam are chayv in tzitzis even if you wear them at nighttime. So the question is, if there's no hechrach, there's nothing forcing you to say it's a taka, nothing forcing you, but you still can say that, so what's taka la'alocha? So that's what, did we mention this week? That's Tata Machloikis and Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rosh quotes this Tesis, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Machloikis, the Rambam and the Rosh. What's the halacha of big beged yom, which I wear balayla? I wear a talis to Meir. Let's say the Chazan puts on a talis to Dav Meir. Does it say a brachel and his satis by talis? Does it say to the tzitzis or not? If he wears, if he borrows somebody else's talis, then he doesn't say a brachel. But if he wears his own talis, if he wears a talis akohol, and we assume whenever you wear the talis akohol, you stay a bracha because you're kainet. The thing is that you're only obligated to put on tzitzis if the talis belongs to you. We more learn that in the pasuk that biyotalahim tzitzis akantei vig dehem only shalachem. Only if the garment belongs to you. If it's a talis shu'ula, if you borrow the garment, You're not mechuyev in tzitzis. Let's say, unless I have a guest. Let's say, I have a guest over in my home, and he forgot, this Shabbos I had a guest over, he forgot to bring his talis. So I gave him my talis and my tanam and aslach hafsit. So it belongs to him, so then he can say the bracha. But if you don't give him a tanam and aslach, I just lend him a talis and it doesn't belong to him, so it's a talis shula. So talis shula, he's not mechuyev, he's not obligated to put in tzitzis. He's not obligated. So what's he going to say at bracha with his satan, the tzitzit? He doesn't have any mitzvah. So if you borrow, if let's say if the chazan is going to daven from home and Meiriv is going to put on a talis, if he'll borrow someone else's talis, he doesn't say any bracha. But the shalos, what if he's going to wear his own talis? What if he's going to wear the talis shel kohol? We assume that the talis shel kohol is nikne, it's owned, it's understood that whoever takes that talis and uses it, it's understood that it's his. The talis belongs to that person for that time period that he wants to use it, that he needs it. So the shaila is, do you recite a bracha when you wear a talis balaylo? A talis is not a pair of pajamas. A talis is not a ksus laylo. It's a ksus yom that I'm wearing balaylo. So the shaila is, a beged yom which I wear balaylo, am I obligated to have tzitzis or not? Can I say a bracha? So Tosis doesn't say mefurish. Tosis just says, according to the opinion that tzitzis is chayvus atalis, then you're forced into assuming, according to the opinion that tzitzis is chayvus atalis means you have to put on tzitzis even on a garment that you're not wearing, then you were forced into assuming that the issue of laila doesn't depend on yom versus laila, it depends on ksus yom as opposed to ksus laila. Pajamas are part of tzitzis, and regular wearing apparel is chayv in tzitzis even by laila. But the shaila is, we don't pasken tzitzis chayvus talis. We pasken tzitzis chayvus gavro. You're only obligated to put the tzitzis on if you're wearing the garment. If you're not wearing enough, so then you can say simply, if you wear it by yom you chayv in tzitzis, you wear it by laila you part of tzitzis. That's how the Rambam says. And the Rosh says no. In the Shulchan Aruch they quote, the Rosh takes this tesis and he applies it even according to the other opinion that we pasken laloha like that tzitzis is chayvus gavro. Still, the distinction between yom and laila is not between day and night, but rather between pajamas as opposed to regular clothes. That's the shaila halacha, how to pass. That's what we mentioned, that it says in the Shulchan Aruch that therefore if a person wears a talis balaila, he should not say a bracha. And that's why they recommend that the more proper practices, you should never wear a talis balaila. If a person has to do a mitzvah, he has no brayer, he has to do a mitzvah and it's a suffix, whether he says the bracha or not, so then it is, it's not a bracha slav, yeah? You do the mitzvah and you don't say the bracha. But if it's an optional mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that you don't really have to do at all, it's just that if you do it, then you say a bracha, then we say, if it's such a mitzvah, it's better not to do the mitzvah at all, rather than to do the mitzvah and to leave out the bracha, because he may, apparently we assume that if a person does the mitzvah without reciting the bracha, that's an avera. That's an avera. To do a mitzvah without saying a bracha beforehand is considered an avera. That's how the Lashon HaRambam is. The Rambam quotes the Gemara in Brachas later, in the beginning of Ketzad Mevorchim. The Gemara says, also Lord, the Mishra Yohanim, and Olam Azeh, below bracha. The person is not permitted to eat or drink any food, to enjoy anything in Olam Azeh, without reciting a bracha. And whoever is nan in Olam Azeh, below bracha, harezem moal. It's considered as if he has violated the Yisra of Mila Behegdash. Because everything belongs to God, and anybody who uses property of the Beis HaMikdosh is moral because he violates the din of milah. Unless you recite a bracha first, then the pasuk tells us, "V'horas nasan l'fnei yodim." And more has two ktukim. One pasuk says, "Hashmaim Hashem, v'horas nasan l'fnei yodim," that he gave this world to Basav Adam. And the other pasuk says, "No, that the whole world, Hashem horas imloyo, the whole world belongs to the Ribbono Shel'Olam." So which is it? That the world belonged to the Ribbono Shel'Olam, or was it given to man? So the Gemara says, "Kan kedem bracha, kan liyacha bracha." That's the Gemara in Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Lo yikasha." There's no contradiction. Kan kedem bracha. Before you recite the Birchas Hanehenin, so all the food and all the drink belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And kan liyacha bracha. After reciting the Birchas Hanehenin, then v'horos nasan l'bnei yodim. So the Rambam quotes this Gemara that one is not permitted to eat or drink anything min olam hazeh v'lo bracha, and it's considered kilu he's moral behegdish, he's using kachshei shamayim. And then the Rambam adds down in Hilchas Brachas, u'kederach shetiknu, and in the same fashion that the chachamim were misaking that a person should recite habirchas hanehenin before eating food, similarly the chachamim were misaking that a person should recite a bracha before doing a mitzvah. It's a very striking lashon, the same way, in the same fashion that they're on the sakin to recite a bracha before eating food, so too they're on the sakin a bracha before you do a mitzvah. What's the relationship? It's an unrelated dinim. Why not say, in the same way you have to say a bracha before you eat food, similarly you have to say baruch shama before you say psukkah is dinim. No connection. So he doesn't write that. He only writes by mitzvahs. So the Achrayim Amadayik from the Rambam's Lashon, that the Rambam understands that Kishem Shetiknu Bracha Ala Eflam means Asa Ladim Sheyahanim Rala Mazed Loi Bracha. It's forbidden to be nana from food or drink without reciting a bracha. Similarly, with the Rabbanon, it's not an Issa Deraisa, with the Rabbanon, it's forbidden for a Jew to do a mitzvah without reciting a bracha in advance. So strange, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, salvation has a whole shir on the sea. Right. No. Lovely honest, right. It's not a hanok, but it's another idea that to do a mitzvah, the person needs a matzah. No. The Gemara asks that, what if a person does a mitzvah without reciting a bracha? Would you say that it's not it is not yetzis? So the Gemara says you can't say that, because the mitzvah is with the raisa, and the bracha is only with the rabbanon. So I can say that I don't fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin because I didn't fulfill the din the rabbanon, then I have to say a bracha. So the Gemara says, it isn't. At least the mitzvah is the rice, it's not marked. The shadows, let's say I bench Chanukah lift. I didn't bench. I light Chanukah lift and I didn't say the bracha. So there the whole mitzvah is with the rabbanon. And the bracha is with the rabbanon. So maybe there you can say that the bracha is miyakev. Maybe the reasoning that the Gemara gives, that a birchas on mitzvah is not miyakev, only applies to a mitzvah the rice. And mitzvah is the rabbanon, maybe the bracha is miyakev. That's Rabbi Yosef Tengel has a long arich, is based on a Rashi and Sukkah like that. Rashi and Sukkah seems to apply like that.
But even if it's a mitzvah the rabbanon, sometimes to keep the rice.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. This is a, that's another point. No, the bracha is not miyake.
You have to stop the rabbanon. You don't make the bracha.
Right. So again, so if a person is obligated to do a mitzvah misofik, so he has to do the mitzvah, he does not say the bracha because sofik bracha block, he has no prayer. But if a person is in a situation where he's not obligated to do the mitzvah, but if he'll volunteer to do the mitzvah like tzitzis, he doesn't have to put on the four-corner garment. If you don't wear a four-corner garment, you're not chayv to have tzitzis. But if you put on the four-corner garment balayla, then you have a machlokes whether you chayv in tzitzis or not, because it's not pajamas, but it's laila. According to the Rambam, whenever you wear the garment balayla, you're part of tzitzis. Whereas according to the Rosh, based on this tesis, it's only part of tzitzis if it's pajamas. So in that case, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you put on a four-corner garment balayla, you don't say a bracha. So the Taz adds on that the proper thing is not to put on a talis balayla, not to put on an abikampas balayla. Why? Because if one does a mitzvah without reciting a bracha, that constitutes an aveir. If, let's say, a person is mesupik and he has no bravery, he must do. If a person is obligated to do a mitzvah mesupik and he has no way out of it, so he's mechuyev. He has to do the mitzvah and he doesn't say the bracha. But he was not mechuyev in the first place to wear the four-corner garment.
There's no chiyuv.
So the Taz recommends better not to wear the four-corner garment at all, rather than to wear the four-corner garment. And get involved in the suffix chiyuv. And then you'll be doing you may be doing a mitzvah without reciting a bracha, which according to this Rambam is an avere. A person is awesome with the Rabbanon to fulfill a mitzvah without reciting a bracha. So rather than get involved in a stafik avere, don't put on the whole four corner garment in the first place, balal. So you won't get involved in the stafik.
No, he might not be mitzvah.
Right, maybe yes, maybe no. That's the machlok, the Rambam and the Rosh.
But if nobody.
Right, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. When you put on a tzifas atalus before Kol Nidre, you have to be careful to recite the bracha before Shkia, right, before sunset. If you wait till after Shkia, it's a tzafik bracha, right, it says in Shulchan Aruch like that. You have to be careful to do the tzifas atalus before Shkia.
No chiyuv mitzvah tzitzis,
strictly speaking, there's no obligation to wear the four-corner garment at all. The only thing is, if you wear the four-corner garment, then you're obligated to put tzitzis on. Taisus just says like this. Taisus quotes, the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispalat Hashem Yisbarach, he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. Paschanan al Hashem. He wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara asks in Satan, the end of the first parak, what did Moshe Rabbeinu need to go into Eretz Yisrael for? He had so many mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, V'chilechem Mipiriyah V'chizbara Mituvah. What do you want to sit by the Mediterranean? Go swimming there. So the Gemara says, I want to fulfill the mitzvahs of Yisbarach. Taisus says, but if he doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you do the mitzvah of Yisrael. If you don't live there, so you don't have, so what's the problem? So Taisus says, you see from that Gemara that a tzaddik and a chassid always goes out of his way to put himself into a situation where he becomes obligated in additional mitzvahs in order that he should be able to fulfill more mitzvah, not just to satisfy himself with the mitzvahs that he's obligated to do. He tries to put himself into a matzav where he'll be obligated to fulfill more mitzvahs. So Tesis now has, there are two versions of Rishonim. So what is that? How does that affect us? So one version of Rishonim is, well, that's for people on the Madrega, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's fine. So let them put on an avakampus all day long. So they'll wear tzitzis all day long. And most people are not on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you can't really say that anyone is obligated to put on a four-corner garment. Another Rishonim say, that's how Tesis says it. Another Rishonim say, no, we see from that Gemara that it's proper for everybody. They say it's not only for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's proper for every person to put himself into a situation. It's a midas chasidus, it's not a din, you're not obligated. But the question is this a midas chasidus only for unusual people, only for real high-class tzaddikim on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu or a little below? Or does it even apply to us?
His mother said, the male fashion, for example, the slits in the jacket, makes each garment, is a four-corner garment, and yet we don't wear it since on that.
No, the din is if you have a slit that's ruboy. If the slit in the back goes up the majority of the height of the jacket, then the Shulchan says it is high. Unless the front has a corner.
Unless it's rounded.
It's rounded, right.
And if you have five for good, then to have half a compass, you have to put on every garment.
Every garment.
If you wear one, you have to wear five. I mean, each one has to have a...
If you have five garments, each one has half a compass or more. Then you believe that's in some
of the
well, to wear a four-corner garment in order to be chayv in tzitzis is a midas chasidus. Why do we daven with the talus?
Is that also a similar version?
Yeah. In the days of the Balei HaTesis, the practice by the Balabatim was that they didn't wear a talus. They only wore a talus on Shabbos. That's a lot of Jews in America like that. They only wear a talus on Shabbos. All week they don't wear a talus. So the Sefer Hasidim quotes such a practice. They didn't wear a talus all week long. So he says this is a terrible thing, the mevazeh, the garment of Hashem is barach, the mevazeh, the Rebbeinu Shlom is begged. Why? Because the pasuk in Daniel describes that Daniel had a vision of the Eivishter as an old man with long white hair, and the pasuk says, Tyre, his hair was amar noko, like tzemer noki, like clean wool, like wool on an animal. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said that's how he had a vision of the Rebbeinu Shlom, like an old man with long white hair, with a long white great beard, like Santa Claus or something, like wool. And Levushe Kitlak Fever, and his garment was white like snow. Levushe Kitlak Fever. What kind of a garment was he wearing that Kitlak Fever was white? So it doesn't say in Daniel what it was. So the same Chassidim said, obviously it was a talus. What other garment is white? Must be that he had a vision of the Rebbeinu Shlom wearing a talus. No, the pasuk says. No, the pasuk describes the vision that Daniel had of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a pasuk in Daniel. He had a vision of the Rebbeinu Shlom wearing a white garment. So the same Chassidim understands that to refer to a talus. So he says that
why
since...
Another
question, why the black
strap? My question.
So he says that one who doesn't wear the talus all week long is mevazeh the beggar of the Rebbeinu Shlom. Why the talus has black stripes, that's a good question. Why do we have a minhag to put black stripes on the talus? Probably, I'll be pashta to zecher l'tcheles. So why is it black? Why is it
black?
Right. The Gemara says in Menachos that tcheles is the color of the sky. So the color of the sky when? Does it mean the color of the sky at midnight? Or does it mean the color of the sky at noon? It's a different color. So Rashi and Chumash says, the color of the sky at midnight. That means black. And the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Tzitzis, the color of the sky at noon. Blue, a completely different color. So there are two opinions what the color of Chavis is supposed to be.
What is
supposed to be
Chavis? Pardon me? What is Chavis?
And he said we put our
colors
in white
and
Chayiv to wear a talus. When is the minhag?
The
different minhag.
The minhag is what? According to Yeshiva Bokhrim, they're not putting on a talus when they get married.
Right.
Is that what? Where did they get? Where did they get that
minhag? The Morgan Avron quotes the Gemara says in Kiddushin Aloshin that there was a certain Palachacham and they cracked him up to be a big goyin, a big charif and everything. So then when they met him, so they said, this fellow, he's a bocher. What's going on here? Well, how can he be a big Talmud Chacham? How can he be such a tzaddik if he's a bocher? When I'll put the suit around his head, that's a lotion for getting married. Kaporis Tudor al Reshei, then we'll discuss who he is. No, he's a nobody. So, an alter a bocher, he's a nobody now. That's the Gemara has a lotion. So you see from that Gemara that the common practice was that Bacharim, single people, didn't wear the suitor on their head. So the question is, what is the suitor? So the Magen Avraham, then there's another Gemara also in Kiddushin. That Gemara is in the end of the first paragraph of Kiddushin. That is a Gemara earlier in the first paragraph, Ches, where the Gemara says, a big Talmud Chacham wears the suitor on his head. A Balabas doesn't wear the suitor on his head. So the Magen Avraham quotes these two Gemaras, and he understands what they mean. The suitor means whether he wears the talus over his head. So if it's only the Rav and Shul wears the talus over his head, the Balabatim don't. And even the Rabbanim, even the Talmud Chachamim, only wear the talus over their heads if they're married. If they're single, then they don't wear the talus over their head. That's how he understands it. And then the later Achrayim, the Be'er Hakim quotes, the later Achrayim disagree. And they say, what's the relationship between Suder and the talus over the head? The talus over the head is for a different reason. Number one is Mitzad Hilchas Tzitzis. There's a significant group of Rishonim who are of the opinion that if you wear an Arba Kamfis, there's no Mitzvah Tzitzis at all. If you wear the tzitzis just over your shoulder, over your body, you're not obligated to put tzitzis on the four corners. The only time you have a mitzvah tzitzis is if it's such a garment which covers over Rosh HaVerubo. Why Mehechet HaYisid? Because when the Torah was given at Maimon HaSinai, that was a normal way that the Goyim and the Jews, that's the way they used to wear garments. The garments used to cover over the head and the body. And the only garments that the Chumash is referring to are those kind of garments. So any garment that doesn't cover both the head and the body, is Pashat not obligated in tzitzis? Just don't fulfill the mitzvah. So one opinion is that's why you should wear the talus over your head. And that's the opinion that we're machmer for. That whenever you say the bracha, you start the tzitzis, everybody does an atifa. You put the talus over your head. Why? Because b'choshish there may be a bracha of atola. Oh, and now you point out another thing. And now there's another reason why to wear the talus over the head. So if the reason why you wear the talus over the head is because of the din of tzitzis, because of the Shita, that's the son of the Or Zarua. There was a Rishon by the name of Rabbeinu Yitzchok Vivina. Or Zarua, his son is called Rabbeinu Chaim Or Zarua, Maharach Or Zarua. So the Jewish Maharach Or Zarua, he presents this opinion, that a garment which you don't wear over your head and over the body, if you just have a hat that has four corners, not Chayvin Tzitzis. If you have just an upper tassel that has four corners, not Chayvin Tzitzis. It has to be a garment that you wear over your head and over your body. So we're machmir for his opinion that we only say the bracha l'hisata b'tzitzis when you do atif over the head. So if that's the reason why you have to have the talus over your head because of the din of tzitzis, that applies to single people and to married people, that applies to Talmid HaChachamim and to Balabatim, it applies to everybody. Then the second reason why the poskim say it's proper to wear the talus over your head is because one should be more properly dressed when he recites more important parts of the davening. When you say Aleinu, when you say Ashrei Nishgefel, when you're saying Shemoneh Esrei, when you're saying Kiddusha or Baruchu, are you saying Kaddish? Are you answering Kaddish by the more significant parts of the davening, by the Davish Bigdusha, by the Shemoneh Esrei? We require Atifa, based on Psukim. And Atifa means to be dressed in a more fancy fashion. More fancy fashion, the Pasuk says, means to wear the talus over your head. So again, if the reason why one wears the talus over his head because you require Atifa, or even if you don't require, you want to have, as a minig, you want to have Atifa, Bishas, Tfilah, Shemoneh Esrei, and Vishas on the Eskadish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu, then it applies to married people and the single people, and it applies also to Balabatim and to the Rabbanim. There's no difference. So that's why the later part can disagree with the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says single people don't have a tifa. They wear a talus but not over the head. And Talmidei Chachamim only wear the talus over the head, and Balabatim don't wear over the head. So that's what the later Achrayim disagree. They say it doesn't make any difference. When the Gemara speaks about a suitor over the head for a Talmidei Chacham only, and a suitor over the head for married people only, that's a suitor, that's not a talus. A suitor is a different thing. You used to have some kind of a garment that they wore all day long, had nothing to do with tzitzis. A garment that they wore all day long, like the Arabs wear. So they would wear that over their head. So the practice was that only married people did that, and only Rabbanim wore like that. Like by the Sephardic chief rabbi, as a special head. So only the Sephardic chief rabbi wears that. Everybody else doesn't wear it. So the suitor that the Gemara speaks of, that only a Talmid Chacham wears and only a married person wears a special garment. But the talus, when they wore a talus, so many Pasukim say those who wore the talus wore it over the head, whether they're married or single, whether they're Talmid Chachamim or Balabat. That's the Shaila. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you have a shul with a minig is that only the Rav wears a talus over his head, even though the majority of the Pasukim don't like that minig, they think it's improper, they say, no, if that's the minig, so then the people should follow the minig, that the Balabatim should not wear the talus over the head. But they consider the more correct minig, if it's a place where there's no minig and you're establishing minig, so the poskim, the majority of the poskim assume that the more proper minig is that not only the Rabbanim, even the Balabatim should wear the talus over their head, not only married people, single people as well. The only thing is that many people have a minhag that single people b'chlal don't wear a talis. And under that, maybe a single person doesn't wear a talis at all. If he wears a talis, then the Magen Avraham says he doesn't wear the talis over his head. And the other Rachmanim disagree and say that he does wear the talis over his head. But the Shabbat, does he wear a talis at all?
So,
are you obligated to wear a talis? No one is obligated. If you don't have the four-corner garment, you're not mechuyev the mitzvah tzitzis. We're discussing a midas chasidus of putting on a garment in order to obligate yourself in tzitzis. So the single people wear an arba kanfas, a talis cotton. Is there a midas chasidus of wearing a talis gadol as well? So there are different menhagim. And many.
I wear a talis, so do I have to wear a talis cotton too? I wear a talis.
While you're davening, you don't need the talis cotton with the talis cotton, but after the davening.
You
don't have to take it off, but to cover yourself for the rest of the day, in order that you should have a mitzvah tzitzis all day long, so we wear a talis cotton.
Don't we have a rabbis towards the Gedilim Tassel before, and then it says B Kafe
Kishore? That's
right. So that was one of the reasons why they made a government of married
person. Right. The Rishonim quotes such a medrash, right. Maram Ritmer quotes such a medrash that only married people wear a talis.
I sort of wish they were. He didn't like that. He says that single people shouldn't wear a talis. So what, the whole life you're not going to wear one? I mean, let's say you get older, when you get to be 30, 40, and you're suddenly going to get married, and you'll never wear a talis.
Yeah. Dip him in all.
What's the call for women to have talis to live in them?
On Yom Kippur. Why do you wear on Yom Kippur all day long a talis?
No,
right. No, you wear all day long. You wear to Mincha also. You wear all day long, right? Rav Soloveitchik once gave a hoshir. He pointed out the Meiri in Shabbos comments on that. The Gemara says that on Yom Kippur, there is no achilo shtiyah. Normally on a Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have a mitzvah of kibud v'yoinim. Mitzvah to dress properly and a mitzvah to eat, to enjoy Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, there's no oinik. You can't eat, you can't drink, you can't enjoy it. So therefore, the Gemara says that the mitzvah of kibud is stronger on Yom Kippur than it is on Shabbos Yom. Kibud means ksus nekiya. Kabdehu be ksus nekiya. Shem mechabed the day by wearing malbushay Shabbos malbushay Yom. So the Miri understands the Gemara like that. The Gemara is commenting. The Gemara Shabbos in Perikol Kisvei is commenting on the pasuk in Yishayah. So the pasuk in Yishayah speaks about kvoit Shabbos and renik Shabbos, and then it concludes l'kdosh Hashem mechubad. The Gemara says, "Kedosh Hashem mechubed zayin Yom Kippurim." Shein ba loy achila, but loy shtiya. There's no oinig at all. So that's why there's a great achiyav of kibud, and kibud means to wear ksus nekiya, to wear fancy malbushim. So the Miri says, "You see, from that Gemara, that as fancy as the malbushim have to be on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to wear special gadim Shabbos and Yom Tov, not the weekday clothing. When it comes to Yom Kippur, you have to have something even nicer. So what can be nicer than a Shabbos suit?" So our meaning is that we wear the talis, we wear the kittel, all day long, and the kittel with the talis all day long. Have something unique and something special in the area of malbushim, because we don't have any oinig at all. Normally on every Shabbos you have kibud and oinig, two mitzvahs. On Yom Kippur we can't fulfill any oinig, so you stress the kibud, you do twice as much kibud. I think Mar says kibud is b'ksus nekiya, so on Yom Kippur we have even more ksus nekiya than on Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Isn't there an emphasis that the talis also by the shvoites and the Rosh Hashanah
told Moshe
Rabbeinu
that whenever
he
wanted
to ask a
kapora,
so he gave him a vision of
a,
someone standing with a talis.
Yeah, the Rabbeinu Shlom showed himself like that. He put on a talis, right, and he said,
that
you give him a vision? That the chazan should wear the chazan should wear talis by slichas, right? And that's the mocha, that a chazan should wear the talis by slichas.
Right.
Even though slichas is at night,
he doesn't make a bracha.
If you put on at night, you don't say a bracha mitam sofik. So you should wear someone else's talis. What does he wear the talis for if he doesn't say a bracha? It's a beautiful malbush. It's a nice malbush. So again, so the Gemara has here, there is an obligation to mention Zechira Sitzias Mitzrayim every day by Yom Balayla. Because the pasuk tells us that Leman how does one fulfill this mitzvah? So the mitzvah b'shleimus would be to read a parsha in which is mentioned Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Yevit, if you won't read a parsha, if you say, would also be good for the Yevit. But l'chatchila, it's a more of a mitzvah b'shleimus to recite a parsha.
So this is Shita of Rebbe, who used to give the Shia and the Mishkan, he used to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. We learned a long time ago. So right. He doesn't have this
he doesn't have this, he doesn't hold like this, because what he just said, he always did today, every day in the Shia, he would talk about the Tzitzis Mitzrayim, and that's every Pasha.
The Gemara, and he would give the Shia.
He would always read a Parsha that mentioned the Tzitzis Mitzrayim.
That's why he didn't know, he just said he would be Misasik to the Tzitzis Mitzrayim, and he said they would have to read the Pasha.
So the Gemara says he would read a parsha, no?
Yes.
The Gemara says he would read a parsha that had a... I don't know how Rabbi Ashmaik said this day it's Yitzias Mitzrayim. On the third wide line on Yud Gimel on the base. The very wide line. Apparently he would read a parsha from the Chumash. When he gave a shiur, he would take out a Sefer Torah or whatever, and read a whole section and then comment on it. He'd always choose to read a section that contained the theme of the Tzitzis Mitzrayim.
But he didn't have but
he wouldn't always choose the Parsha of Tzitzis, right.
What's that?
Right, they hold the mitzvahs only by Yom
Kippur. So that means they wouldn't say,
Right, they wouldn't say the third parsha. And according to Ben Zayma, the mitzvah will not apply to Moshe Mashiach. According to Ben Zayma, the mitzvah is by Yom Kippur, but the Moshe Mashiach will not apply. When it comes to Moshe Mashiach, we'll talk about the Gula Hasidah, we'll talk about that Gula. We will stop talking about the old Gula Sitzan. It will be ancient history then. It won't be relevant anymore.
So that means, if a Chum held that way, that means at a certain point, not everyone would say all these two parshas. You know, it's not like that ancient history.
Right, but Rabbi Kivega points out that Achranim discussed that. Why is it that when the first Tanna says, Yimechayecho hayamim po yimechayecho halelos, he doesn't say lahavi, the rabbi just says halelos. Why is there a shinoi losh? So Rabbi Kivega on the Mishnah tells you to look in, I think, the Shari Ram, one of the Achranim, the Panavirus, who discusses it. And Yeshiva is to say over the name of the Briska Rav, a very interesting comment. He said as follows, that according to the first Tanna, that there's a chiv to recite Yitzias Mitzrayim by Yom, Uvalaylo, then there are two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to recite Yitzias Mitzrayim by Yom, and a separate, unrelated mitzvah to recite Yitzias Mitzrayim by Laylos. According to the Chachamim, there's no mitzvah balayla, it's only by Yom, not by Laila. But the Kol Yimechayecho, refers to Yimos HaMashiach. So what does that mean? That there's a mitzvah, Bizman Azeh, to recite Yitzias Mitzrayim, then there'll be another unrelated mitzvah Yimos HaMashiach. So it means, no, Lahavi Yimos HaMashiach, it's Marbe, that this mitzvah that we fulfill today will continue to exist even after Mashiach comes. Mashiach can point to the first time, it's not that the mitzvah that applies by Yom even applies by Laila. What do you mean it's a different mitzvah? The mitzvah by Yom has to be done by Yom. The mitzvah by Laila is an unrelated. It's another mitzvah by Laila. That's how Avogadro says. That's why according to the first opinion in the Tanna, Ben Zayma says, those of Lazman Azari says, that should Rasha Ben Zayma, he quotes, this is in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Beis and Beis. Of Lazman Azari quotes Ben Zayma, and saying, Yimechayecho hayamim, kol yimechayecho, halelos, that there's a din, Yitzias Mitzrayim should be mentioned by Yom, and also Yitzias Mitzrayim should be mentioned by Laila. Whereas the Chachamim disagree and say, no, the Pasuk is just telling you that this mitzvah applies, bein bizman hazeh, and bein limois ha-mashiach, after Mashiach will come, and we will then have the Gula Hasidim. One might think that it'll be outdated to speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So they say from the Pasuk in the Chumash, no, Kol Yimechayach, Lahavi Lamois HaMashiach, that it's Marbe, that this din will still apply then. That's how Rav Avvalos said on the Diyuk Haloshon. But the Diyuk is an interesting Diyuk, the Achranim discussed. Right now in the Mishnah, it's referring to the Achranim discussed.
Well, what does he mean to say that until he learned from his own, he never said Maya, or does he mean to say he never knew why he said it? And he said, those are 15 I'm like 178, maybe he's a good group, you know, right overnight. Mm-hmm. But until that time, he never said
open
prophets, or he never knew why he was saying open prophets.
So the
Hashem Shabbos,
he didn't say
it? He didn't say it. So it was like, I'm not going to say it. Hashem didn't say it. He didn't say it. Only, you know, Ben Zoma and some of his people said.
Right. And now here the Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, even Bizman Rav Aron, it wasn't so clear what the minig was about the third parsha. But still, the Tanaim weren't misafin to have Emes V'Yemuna at night and night, to speak about Bo Yisrael. So the Gemara says, should you...
Sorry, at one time we decided to Paschim, normal Paschim, that's it, all three, and that's it, it's anything, it's final. You know, when we say all three Parshas, that's that. Nobody today would say no, I'm going to say two.
Oh, that's what the Gemara is going to explain why. Our Gemara is going to explain why. So the Gemara says, on our daf, Abai quotes the statement of Rav, Lo Yaskil, if you don't want to, you don't have to say the third parasha of Kriya Shema Balayla. However, Vim Yitzchil, Goymer. But if you start it, then you're obligated to finish it. Why are you not mechuyev to say Balayla? What, he holds that the din is like the Chachamim? So you're not mechuyev to recite the Zechiras Yitzchiras on Balayla?
No,
you can be Yitzchir Yitzchiras Mitzrayim by saying the Nusach and Emes V'Yamunah. That's what we say, the Maisa, and Emes V'Yamunah. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yitzchiras Mitzrayim and for the Makas Becheiris. We mentioned that too. We mentioned the Makas Becheiris and we mentioned the Kriyas Yamsun. In fact, that's found in the Tosefta. And in the Medrash Tanchuma, it says that on Pesach night, the mitzvah Sipi Yitzchiras Mitzrayim. Sipi Yitzchiras Mitzrayim means Kolamar V'Lesaper Harezei Meshuvah. He's supposed to tell the story about Riches. Every day and every night, there is no din kol amar v'lestaper. People are in a rush to go to their office, so there isn't even a hidur l'chatchila to be mar v'lestaper. Just tell the kids, sir, we thank the Rebbeinu Shlom for taking us out of Mitzrayim. So if there isn't even a din l'chatchila to be marbe, so yet the Tosefta says, but two things you should add on. In addition to just mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim, we thank you for taking us out of Mitzrayim, you should mention also, we thank you for Kriyas Yamtzuf and for Makas Becheiris. The Gemara over here doesn't have the whole little stuff. The Gemara just says, "Moedim anach malach." So it's the son of Eretz Mitzrayim. Yes, this is on a nisim gevuras alayam. It only mentions Kriyas Yamsi. It doesn't mention Makas Becheiris. So the Achronim point out that the Tosefta and the Medrash Tanchuma are mechulik with the Gemara. But that's not enough. That the mitzvah b'shleimusa is to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, Makas Becheiris, and Kriyas Yamsi. Did the Yeved? We do it. Right. We do it. And then the Yatsiv and the Emes Emunah. No. The Choros Ma'abris is not part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's way before. That's in Sukkot Zimun. But we say in Emes V'Yatzir, right? But in Emes V'Yamunah we have both. In the section that speaks about Yitzias Mitzrayim, we have both. Both in Shacharis and in Ma'ariv, we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Makas Becheiris. We mention all of them. Bid the Yevid if a person just says, we thank you, we just say Yitzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't mean anything. They say, we thank you, Rabbanu Shalom, for doing Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, but the Yevid is Yitzias with that. And the Hatchil, it's more of a mitzvah Shalom Musa to say, we thank you for doing Yitzias Mitzrayim, and for Makas Becheiris, and for Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? Why do you have to add that on? You don't have to say, oh, yes, the Makas every day. We thank you for Dom, for Tvadea, for Kinnah, for thank you for today. You just have to thank for Yitzias Mitzrayim, Makas Becheiris, and Kriyas Yamsuf. Why the compromise? Why talk on Nivul and Malach? How come by Makas Becheiris it was on Nivul and Malach and the others were not on Nivul and Malach? So you see that there was something unique about Makas Becheiris that was not present by the end.
You could argue were according to Teva possibly, but Makas Becheiris was totally in Gansana, totally outside of the Teva.
Why did people die?
But they all died. No, the Brisker Rav points out. There's an interesting pasuk in this week's Tehillim. The Brisker Rav points out the pasuk when Hashem Yisbarach sends Moshe Rabbeinu to warn Paro that he should free Bnei Yisrael. Right, he says, "Shalach es bnei v'yabdeni v'atemoyin l'shalcho." And if you refuse to send Bnei Yisrael free, "Ineinechi hayrek es bincha b'chayra." I will bring Makas b'chayrus. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, and what about Dom Tzvadeh Kinim Orav? Why doesn't it go in order? If you don't set the Jewish people free, I will punish you with Dam, and then one of Tzvadeh, and then one of everything in order. What does he say at the end? So Rashi says that the Rabbanu Shalom is not like Basav Adam. Basav Adam, when I want to threaten you of something, I don't tell you what my greatest weapon is. If you don't listen, I'm going to drop the A-bomb, the H-bomb. I don't tell you my greatest weapon, because if I tell you my greatest weapon, then you may develop. You may start working quick and develop something to outsmart me. So Basav Adam keeps secret what is what his weapons are, what his final, what his ultimate weapon will be. Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not afraid, tells me, I have an A-bomb. Do whatever you want. If you don't listen, I'm going to give you the worst of the worst. So he warned him in advance about the worst Makkah, which was the last one, which is the Makkah's verse. That's how Rashi says. So the Brisker Rav added on, perhaps he can say a little different, along the lines of Rashi, but a little different. It's not the same, it's a little different. He said, maybe it means like this, the other Makkahs were a punishment. Damas Faradei Akinah Marav were a punishment for the Mitzrayim. And the Tosefta says in 80 is, that how long did the whole story of Esa Makkahs take? The Tosefta says, Rashi quotes part of an Afamish, that it was warning for 3 weeks. Every Makkah was warning for 3 weeks, and then the Makkah took approximately a week. So every Makkah took approximately a month. So if you have Esa Makkah, should have taken 10 months. So the Medrash says not. The Tosefta says in 80 is, that just like Mishpat, Rishon B'Gehenim is 12 months, and the Rishon burning Gehenim, they suffer for 12 months. And the Dora Mabul, the Mabul was for 12 months, whenever there's a big Einish, so the maximum Einish is for 12 months. So the Tosefta says that the Esa Makkah took a full year. From the beginning till the end, took a full year. So you see that the Esa Makkah was for the purpose of punishing the Mitzrayim for the Averis that they had done. They had done other Averis. Not only that they persecuted the Jews, but all of the Averis that they did in the past, so their punishment was that they deserved to be punished for a year. The Makkah's Bukhairis, in addition to being a punishment for the past, was also for the purpose of clinching the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that's what the Pasuk says over here about the Moyen L'Shalcho, Shalachim B'nili Abdeni, send free the Bnei Yisrael. If you don't set them free, he doesn't say, I will punish you. No, that's not the theme. If he wants to say, I will punish you, both of you look, I will bring dumb, I will dig inside there. He doesn't say that. He says, you better set them free out of your own free will, on your own. If you don't, I will force you to set them free. He doesn't mean I'll bring Makkah's Bukhairis and punish you. He doesn't mean to say, I have a big weapon in my arsenal. It means to say, I will force you to set them free. The Makkah B'Patish, the Yetzias Mitzrayim was the night of Makkah's Bukhairis. And the Medrash says, the Yalkut Shemani says, that at the night of Makkah's Bukhairis, at Chatzos, Paro was running around and making an official government declaration that until now the Jewish people were slaves to the Egyptian government. And from now on, he representing his government, he's the king of the country, he represents his government, he declares that they're all free. Until now, Hayisim Avadim Leparo. When you come to Yelech, you are now free, and you are Avadim HaKadosh Baruch. That was the declaration that he made. So you see from the Medrash that Makkah's Bukhairis was the time at which the Yetzias Mitzrayim occurred. That was the official declaration of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Rav Avila just says, he thinks that's the Pshat in this Tosefta as well in Brachas. That even though every day, there's no mitzvah of Sipa Yetzias Mitzrayim Barichas. It's just Bekitzah Nimratz. You can't just say two words, Yetzias Mitzrayim. That doesn't mean anything. You have to say, we thank you, Eibishter, we thank you, Rebbeinu Shalom, for taking us out of Mitzrayim. But L'chatchila, you should add on more, namely, you should say, we thank you for the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and for the Makkah's Bukhairis, and for the Kriyas Yamsuf, because these two, the Makkah's Bukhairis and the Kriyas Yamsuf, were the acts of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The others were not. Damat Svadeh, Akinim Arayv, were not parts of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Those were Nisim and Afloes that occurred in connection with Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the actual act of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Kriyas Yamsuf and Makkah's Bukhairis. Those two were the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim.
You mentioned 10 months versus 12 months. Where the other two are? You didn't finish up on that.
Rashi quotes in the Medrash that each one of the Makkahs, Moshe Rabbeinu warned 3 weeks in advance, and the Makkah took approximately a week. So if you have 10 Makkahs, should have taken 10 months. So the Tosefta says in 80 is not that from the beginning till the end of Esa Makkahs took a whole year.
So in other words, it doesn't explain how long each Makkah was.
No. There was a pause in between. Why did it take a year? So the Tosefta in 80 stresses this theme that the maximum punishment is Yud Beis Chodesh. And they were given the maximum punishment. Just like the Mishpat of the Dor HaMabul was Yud Beis Chodesh, the Mishpat of Rishon Ge'enim is Yud Beis Chodesh, so to the Mishpat of HaMitzrayim was also Yud Beis Chodesh.
We say, Kino, the Makkah is time for Chodesh. That's not Makkah for Chodesh.
So again, here the Gemara has a din. Let's just review again. Here the Gemara has a din. The mitzvah b'shleim busa is to recite a parsha, not just to say modim anachnu lo chal shreit tzisam b'yot tzisam. The mitzvah b'shleim busa is to recite a parsha which contains the theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim in it. Any parsha you want, and the Chacham happened to pick out this parsha of tzitzis. why they picked that tzitzit, why didn't they pick out those Yashir or Nebuas Bilam? So the Gemara gives various reasons. So the mitzvah of Shleimus is to recite a parsha from the Torah that should blend in with the first two parshas of Kriya Shema. The third parsha should have a shaychus with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then you should add on Baal Peh. And we also thank you, Rabbanu Shalom, for doing the Kriyas Yamsuf and for doing the Makas Mechorus. If you don't want to do a mitzvah b'shalim musa, then you can fulfill a mitzvah by just saying, Moed ha'malach nuloch, al sheis yisonu b'yaretz mitzvahim, al shaharakta es b'chareyem, v'al shakarayta lonu es hayom. And if you want to do less than that, the mitzvah, the bare mitzvah, shalei b'shalim musa, just the bare minimum is just to recite, Moed ha'malach nuloch, al sheis yisonu b'yaretz mitzvahim. So now the Gemara has this comment. Lo yasfil means by Meiriv, you don't have to, if you don't want to, you don't have to start the third parasha of Kriya Shema, because the third parasha is only for the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the bulk of the parasha doesn't say a word about Yetzias Mitzrayim, it keeps on talking about tzitzis. And tzitzis is only Nahegis Balayim, it's not Nahegis Balayim, because we passed in, like Reb Shimon tells us it. The mitzvah tzitzis doesn't apply Balayim. So therefore, Balayla, it's really a waste to read so much. So we don't bother the person that he should do the mitzvah so much b'shleimus by reciting a parasha which has Yetzias Mitzrayim mentioned in it. So you know, people say Yemes V'Yamuna. Let him say Moed Ha'malach Nuloch Asher Yetzisam V'Yeretz Mitzrayim. However, Yim Hischel, but if he starts saying Vayomer, then Goyimer, then he's obligated to finish it. What kind of a din is that? He's not mechuyav to say Vayomer in the first place. So why do you say that if he started, then he's obligated to finish it? What kind of a din is that? So we have such a similar din. That's what Rav Soloveitchik has in this sefer that you got a copy of. And the first Dvar Torah has a long kuntres on Kriya Shema. So he points out at Kiyas, there is a Gemara in Tainis that has a similar phrase. Unrelated topic though. So Rav Soloveitchik thinks that they are related. There's a Gemara in Tainis that says, we discussed several times, on Rosh Chodesh there is no obligation to recite Aleph. It's only a minhag. And the minhag originally only was a shul, the tzibur. The yachid is no obligation, even mitam minhag, to recite halal. So the Gemara says, yachid lo yasfil. The yachid doesn't have to recite halal if he doesn't want to on Rosh Chodesh. On Chanukah, everyone is required to recite halal. That's called yamim sha yachid goyma behem sa halal. Even be yachidus, you're obligated to say halal. That's the lashon of Gemara. Yamim sha yachid goyma behem halal. Even if you're not davening in a minyan. But on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says it's only a minyan to recite halal. And when Rav went to Bavel, he had never heard of that minig. He learned in Eretz Yisrael, never heard of it. When he came to Bavel, he found that Baal HaBatma had a new minig. So the Gemara says, the minig only gives B'tzibah. Yochid is not obligated to start halal. However, Vim Hischil, Doimer, if you start the halal on Rosh Chodesh B'yachidus, then you're obligated to complete it. Why are you obligated to complete it? If you're not obligated to start in the first place, then what obligates you to complete it if you do start? So that's what also Reichik explains. He thinks that it's related to this Gemara as well. Whenever you have there's no kima mitzvah either. But there are some things that you're not obligated to do, but if you do it, there is a kima mitzvah. That's called the mitzvah of shoes. An optional mitzvah. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but if you do it, there is a kima mitzvah. So where do you have such There's no kima mitzvah either. But there are some things that you're not obligated to do, but if you do it, there is a kima mitzvah. That's called the mitzvah sarashus. An optional mitzvah. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but if you do it, there is a kima mitzvah. So where do you have such things? So the Gemara has over here. Balayla, when you're davening Ma'ariv, so the Gemara says, you're not really obligated. The Chachamim didn't bother us. They weren't matriach us that we should be obligated to recite the third parasha of Kriya Shema. It's enough if they say, Lodim Malach Meroch, I'll show you, it's son of the earth, Mitzrayim. He said there are three levels to the way one can fulfill a mitzvah of the Zechiris of Tzias Mitzrayim. Either reciting the parasha which contains the idea of Tzias Mitzrayim, and then thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Makos Peres and for the Kriyas Yamsu, or leaving out the whole parasha. Just, Lodim Malach Meroch, I'll show you, it's son of the earth, Mitzrayim, I'll show you, Sayam, and the lowest form is just son of the earth. So lichatchile bayom, the Chachamim required of us, and then the Chachamim picked out which parsha should be recited after parsha's tzitzis for various reasons. So balaylo, but the parsha's tzitzis is very much out of place. So the Chachamim didn't feel that it makes a sense to require you lo yasfil. They should require of you to have the mitzvah b'shleimuso on the highest level of the three forms. To recite the parasha of Tzitzis, which contains the theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then say later, Modim Arach Naloch, for the Kriyas Yamsuf also, and for the Makos Peres also, the bulk of the parasha of Tzitzis doesn't apply by Lailah. So they said, Lo Yaskel, if you don't want it, you don't have to. But in Hischil, but if you volunteer on your own to recite the third parasha in Shema by Ma'ariv, then we say, Goyme, then you're Mechuyev to finish the parasha. Why? Because there is a kima mitzvah, there's more of a mitzvah b'shleimusa to fulfill the chi of zechiras yitzias mitzrayim by reading a parasha kichsova, because it is related to kriyas shema. As we mentioned many times, zechiras yitzias mitzrayim is not a separate mitzvah. It's a connection, it's a hemshach of kriyas shema. So just like the only way to fulfill kriyas shema is kichsova by reading parashas from the Torah, so too lehatchil, the way to fulfill the mitzvah of zechiras yitzias mitzrayim is also by reciting the parasha from the Torah. So that's what the Gemara says. Lo yaskel, you're not mechuyev to say vayayim if you don't want to at night, because the bulk of the parsha has no shayches balala. However, vim hiskel, but if you did start it goymer, then we require of you, you must complete the parsha, because there is more. There will be a kiyama mitzvah. There'll be a mitzvah which will be more bishleimusa to fulfill zechiras yitzias mitzrayim. Not stam in the form of reciting loyim malach nolach, but rather in the form of kriyas haparsha. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought is a dinyan to the other Gemara, that Amresh Chodesh, a Yachid is not obligated even mitam haminig to recite halav. The minig, the ikar minig of reciting halav was only b'tzibur and not b'yachid. However, the Gemara says in the end of time is v'im hischil, but if the Yachid starts the first parak in halav, then goymer. Then we say he's required to complete the halav. Why? Because the kiyum there will be, just that there's no chiyuv. So once you've begun already, and you've begun, you already began to have this optional mitzvah, then we require of you that you should finish it. That's what the Gemara has it. So the Gemara is telling you this club, whenever you have an optional mitzvah. Okay. Like that, right? But why is it designed for the mitzvah? Because it's more of a mitzvah b'shlei musa. If you do it like that, there is a kiyum. If there's no kiyum at all, then you can't say that goymer, you're obligated to finish it.
That would also be probably, right? That would also be not by a woman who's going to do a mitzvah shas man woman.
Probably. If she begins with it already, then she's going to. She doesn't have to start if she doesn't want to, but if she starts it, right, then she's going to complete it.
What's the big kiddush? We always say masculine, it's probably more.
No, I mean, the difference there, a mitzvah that you mechuyev to do.
But that doesn't apply by a mitzvah that you have to do. Let's say you.
Why not? I would have thought so. But it means if you start a mitzvah, you should see to it that you finish it and don't hand it over to someone else, that he should finish it for you. Well, you should complete it yourself.
You'd say, what do you need a clown like that for a chiyuv? You'd say that there would only be with something rishus, like we all have. We all have a mitzvah of giving stock, for example. So let's say you meet somebody poor on the street and you buy them in and you give them stock. So I would say that's what you apply. I'm asking the mitzvah on the
floor. You tell somebody to bring him in.
You give him the meal, or you bring him in and then tell somebody else to give him the meal, and then you run away to go do something else in the village.
Yeah.
Because we always say that, you have that, and you have a mitzvah, you're doing something, you finish it already. So what's the big deal here? No, you start the
But here's not even a chiyuv. Here's just a kiyum. There's no chiyuv at all over here. So the Gemara says still, be in his field, right? If you start to do a mitzvah of shuv, it's an optional mitzvah, we say you're mechuyev now. Once you started it, you're mechuyev to complete the mitzvah.
What about the Pit Mar Torah? Which you say you can't leave out any words, and you do, you know, it's like you're calling it a bunch of high use.
It's a different thing. It's a different thing. Right. Just like the Kayin is not permitted to the enter the Heichal with Torah's Hasera, so we should also be careful not to leave that. It's
right.
A different thing.
That's why the Ashkenazim don't say it. Right. After Kabbalah, they don't say Kabbalah at the end of the Davening. You're going to need some work.
Second time. He says many in Nusach Ashkenaz you don't say Pitmah Peres the second time after Davening. Right. You only say it in Kabbalah because people are in a rush then, so we're afraid that that we'll miss a word.
You don't need to say the Peshkar.
Oh, you're Machmer.
There's no Chiyuv. You consider it a Hefsek.
No, no, it wouldn't be a Hefsek because the Chachamim were Misakin it in Shachris like that. So Meirav also it wouldn't be a Hefsek. So then we discussed last week, we learned the Gemara, what's called a Hatzkolah. How much should you begin to recite the third parsha that it's considered in Hischil you're obligated to be Goyma? Because in Eretz Yisrael they said, you just say, you don't know what parsha you're introducing, you haven't said anything yet, anything of content. So in Eretz Yisrael they felt that that's not yet Hischil, it's only called Hischil when you begin B'yosolahem Tzitzis. When you say something of the parsha that has contents to it, so then it's called Hischil. And in Bavel they held not so, that Gabriel ben Yisrael Matalem is also called Hischil. So that Gemara we learned. So Abaye, we'll just review. Amalei Abaye asked the kasha of Rav Yosef, what did he chapis pilus? What did he think was so great about the practice in Eretz Yisrael? That when they daven Ma'ariv, they didn't say the whole third parsha of Shema. They just said, "Vayam Hashem Amrei Shalem, and Dabar Bnei Zomata Leim, Ani Hashem Lakechem, Emes V'Yemuna." And they continued there. So he says, "How can it be? The din is Lo Yaschil. The din is you're not obligated to recite the third parsha in Ma'ariv, because the bulk of the parsha deals with tzitzis. So you can fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzchayim by mentioning Moed Malachim Loch, Al Shei Tisam Yeretz Yisrael, Karayt Alonu Sayam, and Ral Shaharaktas Bucharim, and so on. However, V'im Hischil, but if you did begin the third parsha, Goymer." Then you're obligated to complete the third parsha to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kich Sova, by reciting it in the parsha. Ivich, so he asked, so the practice in Eretz Yisrael is improper? They did Shalakidin, they began the third parsha and they didn't finish. Ivich, and if you want the answer, the Amar Talem, by Havi Haskola, you didn't say anything yet. Amar Talem, you don't say what? Until you say the Yosalayim Tzitzis, you can't say that. Ivich, have a statement in the name of Rav, Dabar B'nai Yisrael, Havi Haskola, Amar Talem, Havi Haskola. So the Gemara says, right, but in Eretz Yisrael they felt, not so. In Eretz Yisrael they felt, until you say, Yasalam Tzitzis, it's not Haskalah, not Papa, Kastavri, Bima Rovo. In Eretz Yisrael they were of the opinion, Vemar Talem, Nam Miloi Havi Haskalah, Ad the Yom, until you begin to say, Yasalam Tzitzis. Hamra Abai, Sahalachal Maisa, what do we do? This is what we said before. Sahalachal Maisa, what is our practice? This man Hamurayim, it was unclear. In many Kehillot they did not recite the whole third parasha. Probably many kilos that didn't begin even to restart the third parsha at all. They just started the Emes V'Emunah. They didn't say anything of the third parsha. So Abai says like the Tilkach, therefore, we begin we follow the practice that they had in Eretz Yisrael to begin the third parsha. But whereas in Eretz Yisrael they felt that the Amar Talem is not called a Haskalah, and if you say the Amar Talem, you can abridge the third parsha and just say Ani Hashem Elokecha Emes V'Emunah. We pass from like Rabbi Kevin, the Yaschilin, and since we have begun the Amar Talem, Nigma and Amigamin, we complete the entire third parsha because we follow Rab, who says in Hischol Goymer, and Rab says that this is called Hatzolah. Rabbi Bnei from Amar Talem is called Hischol. So we say the whole third parsha. That's our practice. Then we learn the next Gemara also. The Gemara called Chia Barav Omar. Chia Barav says, if you recited the third parsha, or you recited the end of the third parsha, Ani Hashem Lakechem, then you say Emes V'Yamunah, and so on. You say the last bracha of Gal Yisrael, you begin with Emes V'Yamunah. But if you didn't say the third parsha, and you didn't end off Ani Hashem Lakechem, Vayom Ani Hashem Lakechem, if you leave out the whole third parsha, apparently there were communities in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, but they didn't say any of the third parsha at night. So if you don't say the whole third parsha, then you don't have to say the third bracha in Kriyashma. Because each one of the brachas in Kriya Shema is l'chol and keneged, each one of the prakim of the each one of the chapters of the Kriya Shema. And it's off my man. So the Gemara asked the kasha, what do you mean about boy la kuri tzias mitzvah? But the macha like an zayma like a blood of another, that you do have to say tzias mitzvah by yom about laila. So if you're not going to say emes emun at night, you won't fulfill the mitzvah. Gemara says, no, you can say a different lutzah. The yom ha'ochi, you say, ma'adim ha'ach ne'loch, Hashem ha'keinu. So it's the stone of the earth and sign of the stone of the base of one of the Sisulan and Isma Gvur is Alaya. And then you say, Vishal Melach Micham, why can't you finish Gaul Yisro? You can abridge the last
Bruch. The Mishnah that told us that you got to say two before you
know,
go after
specifically? Right.
So they were saying, no, you don't go after?
No, this is it. You do say the Bruch. You say, Vishal Melach Micham, why can't you? And you sang at that time Micham, and then you complete Gaul Yisro. You
complete Gaul Yisro. How about the young takes care of Mishra Gvur also?
Yeah.
All together.
Yeah. The whole theme of Emes Emunah is Gula. The whole theme is Yitzias Mitzrayim. The kids are. They say other things there, but the basic theme of Emes Viatzim and Emes Emunah is Yitzias Mitzrayim. They just say the kids are limits. Murder on Achmelot. This is relevant. We mentioned several occasions. Let's say the Davin Ma'ariv in the Shul early. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you should repeat all the three parshas of Kriya Shema later. So by reciting the third parsha of Kriya Shema, it's not really sufficient, because in the third parsha you only mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. You don't mention Makas Becharis and you don't mention Kriyas Yamsu. But let's say if a person wakes up before sunrise, sunrise now keeps on shifting, it's about 7:14, 7:15. Every day or two it shifts another minute later. So when a person wakes up early and the minyan in shul is not going to say Kriyas Shema before sunrise, you're going to get to Kriyas Shema after sunrise. So there's a din l'hatchila, you should say Kriyas Shema kivas sikin, even if you're not going to say Shmanetri right after. The real mitzvah for seeking was to daven and to get up to Kriya Shema right before sunrise, then to begin Shmanetri right after sunrise. Right. To organize your davening in such a way that you recite the Kriya Shema right before the Zricha and the Shmanetri right after the Zricha. But even if you don't have that Hidur Bishleimusoi of davening and saying Kriya Shema and Shmanetri Kivah Sikin, there's still a din l'chatchila to recite Kriya Shema before sunrise.
Is that the brothers?
No. No. Unless you're going to down for this fish.
So then surely you go from awful straight to what you just started.
Right, and then you repeat the Kriya Shema again.
But why?
If a person wants to fulfill this mitzvah, let's say a person in shul they're going to daven at 9 o'clock, let's say. And the person wakes up on Shabbos, let's say. The person wakes up at 7 o'clock, he should wash his hands and say Birchas HaTorah. He can't say Kriya Shema if he doesn't say Birchas HaTorah. He should wash his hands, say Birchas HaTorah, and say the three parshas of Kriya Shema and go back to sleep. And then he can go to shul at 9 o'clock. So when he says the three parshas of Kriya Shema, l'chatchila, he should say from the beginning till Ani Hashem l'kechem, and then say, Moedim anachna loch al shayitzi son of the Eretz Yisrayim, the ostisilo nisim gvuras al ayam, basha harakta es b'chareihim es b'chareinu hitzalti. Because l'chatchila, the Tosefta says, in the Poskim quoted l'aloche, l'chatchila, even though you don't mention Dam Tzadeh, Kinim Orev, and all the other SMAKs, but l'chatchila every day, you should mention these two. Yitzias Mitzrayim and Makas Peres with Kriyas Yamsu. Right. That's what I mentioned. The Achreinim Adam, based on the Tosefta and the Medrash Tanchumim, that even though the Gemara only has Kriyas Yamsu, Nosisalam and Nishma Gurus Alayam is referring to Kriyas Yamsu. But nevertheless, the Poskim Adam, based on the Tosefta, you should mention also Makas Peres.
Why don't you say, if you have to say, if you get up his man before Sefer Neshemesh, why don't you say from
Yotzah
to
Gaul Yisrael?
Why do you only
and
say...
And
Dabish Shema Esrei? Yeah. No, I don't mean you say the Shema Esrei. I thought we said that the brachos were linked to Kriya Shema.
They are. They are linked to Kriya Shema.
So then why don't we say the brachos?
You have to have smichas gudol l'tfilah. Let's say if a person always davens vasikin, every day the person wakes up, or most of the time he davens vasikin, he's always careful to start davening a half an hour before sunrise and gets to Kriya Shema right before sunrise, and he starts Shema Esrei right after. So if he's always careful like that, so then many poskim say that that's preferable to tefillah b'tzivah. So even if there's no minion around at all who's going to, he doesn't have another 9 people to go along with him, he should go his own way. He's the only tzaddik in town. He should go his own way. He should wake up every day and synchronize his davening in such a way that he should daven v'chidus and begin half an hour before sunrise, get the Kriya Shema before, and recite Shema Esrei right after. However, if most of the time he doesn't daven v'sikus, One day he happens to wake up, or one day he's studying all night for a final or something, and he dies, he wants a daven vasikin. So then the post can say, nothing doing, daven v'tzibur, don't daven v'tzibur. The only time we say that v'tzibur is preferable to tefillah v'tzibur is if he always davens if it's betmini, he always davens v'tzibur. The bracha of Gol Yisrael should be right before
the word
Vasik means a chasid. Vasik v'chasid anein, we don't care. So Vasik means the chasidim and anshei maise bizman ha-mishneh who had this minig, they had this practice to recite Kriya Shema right before the Shmanes, right before the sunrise, and the Shmanes right after. I remember once we were learning Yeridei and Rav Soloveitchik Shir, so he always used to call on a bachrim to read the Talmidim. So the Shach has a loshne, he says something is a minig vasik, and one of the boys didn't know what it was, so he said, minig Vatican. Rav Soloveitchik said, who? What? What minig Vatican? What are you talking about? A minig vasik, it's a loshne in the Mishnah. Vasik v'chasir anein.
We explained why it's okay when he did Eretz Yisrael, because wasn't really considered a calling. Why did Rav Yosef call it Ma'aliyah?
Why do you think it was so great? He thought it was great that you say something to lead you into Emes. Emes v'yamuna. He likes the Nusach of Emes v'yamuna. Right, if you leave out the whole third parasha, which you may if you want to, lo yaskal, you don't have to start if you don't want to, but if you leave out the whole third parasha, then the Gemara says that you don't say Yemes V'Yemunah. So what do you say? You compose your own Nusach, Moedim Alachim Lo. So it's really not so nice to compose your own Nusach. Better to say the Nusach that the Tanoim were Misakim. But you don't want to bother to say the whole third parasha of Kriya Shema because it really doesn't have any shaykhes, since it doesn't apply Balayla. So he says, Kama Maya Hashmaita, this is great, that I'm far. They say a little bit of the third parasha that leads you into Emes V'Yemunah, but you don't say so much and you should be obligated to say the whole third parasha. So you leave out those parts of the third parasha that are not relevant Balayla.
Isn't Emes V'Yemunah the beginning of
right, that's
so when the Mishnah said, you know, it can't be Mari without, you know, you can't
be Mikatsa.
Mari, you can't be Mari without the Mikatsa.
Yeah.
So how can you leave out of Emes V'Yemunah? That would be
Mishra. It's a good kasha. It's a very good kasha. How can you substitute Moedim Alach Nalach as a kitsu of Emes V'Yemunah? I don't know, it's a good kasha. He asks Akasha, the Mishnah says, the Mokum Shom Lahara, Chenem Ashore the Katsa. If the Chachamim were Misak in a long bracha, then you're not permitted to condense that bracha and to recite it in an abridged form.
But there are some brachas that the Chachamim were Misak in both the long and the short.
No, but here you see, obviously, they were Misak in Emes V'Yemunah for night, and Emes V'Yatzah for the morning.
No, but I mean, the point is, but it is, doesn't say here that that was the only kikur, that it was just Emes V'Yemunah.
Meaning they were Misak in two nuskos.
We have that with other halachas too. I mean, for example, the tefillahs that soldiers say Beis Muhammad, the Shmona Esrei, or they say
right, that's clearly, that was mistaken by the Anshak Nesabad. I mean, this Nusach was also Moedim Alach Nalach.
We're talking about two different stories, first with Shachas and Marav.
Yeah, but
the right. The Mishnah says they were mistaken a different Nusach for Shachas, different Nusach for Marav.
Yeah, but maybe it goes together by Yom,
but
the two go together.
I don't know. The Kasha is a good Kasha. There is a possible terrorist, but it's still a good cash. It's still a good cash. I don't know.
You sound like a mistake that we have a slight problem when we put on a talus. You can't put on a talus before...
Too early. You can't put on a talus too early.
You have to act as...
No, you can put on. Let's say, how long does it take from Baruch Shama till you get to Kriya Shema? It doesn't take more than a half hour. Half hour before sunrise it is. It's month to put on the same rock on the top. In the Gemara, in the first parak of Soito, there are several dafim of Agadate in connection with this week's Seder. Very fascinating Agadate. So one of the Agadates in the Gemara on Daf Yudbeis in Soito is on the That's a different from a different Gemara has a different pasuk. Not from the pasuk of Siyat Shisham Yimach. We only learn it from the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The Gemara Zadidi learned it from the pasuk of Siyat Shisham Yimach, the Domim Lach. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu is not a Baal Mum, so too the other men can also not be a Baal Mum. And according to this Tana, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Baal Mum, so it's learned that only from the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. That says, Kulo Chiyach HaRayos, the Mim Ben Ba.
So next Wednesday night.
Right, next week, we won't be able to have the Shir on Monday night. Next week and the week after, because the building is locked. So the Shir next week and the week after only will be on Wednesday night.
I don't understand the problem that you have with Tzitzis, if the mitzvah is on the Tzitzis and not on the old day. So we say it's only by day. Doesn't apply, you can tell them. It's only by day, it's not by night, so...